Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on swine flu vaccine right after this. You know, those who already walk submissively will say that there's no cause for alarm, but submissiveness is not our heritage. The First Amendment was designed to allow rebellion to remain as our heritage, and the Constitution was designed to keep government off the backs of the people. The Bill of Rights was added to keep the precincts of belief and expression of the press, of political and social activities, free from government surveillance. You know, I wished I'd have thought of that. But that quotation comes from Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas. And our princes and politicians beller in the halls of Congress for more taxes, more spending, more gun control. But you and I haven't heard anything intelligent come out of a politician's mouth in more than 75 years. That's why I contend that the only real reason, logic, or common sense left in America comes from our courts, not from our political process, not from our politicians or our lawyers or our bureaucrats. Old Mayor Rothschild summed it up with a flair when he said, "You give me the money power, and I care not who makes the laws." Well, let me echo that by saying, give me the judicial power, and I care not who makes the laws either, because the real power here in America is in our courts, not in our politics. Now, if you'd like to tap into this power of the courts, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. Remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. If you're online, you can go to our website and download it directly right off of our archives page. Or if you're listening on radio somewhere in the world and you don't have a computer, then call us here at the law school and ask for it, and we'll send you one. That number again, 417-273-4967. Our school courtroom strategy and procedures available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And just click on to our archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package. All right, we're talking about the swine flu vaccine. It's hot and heavy in the news. They want you to go down and get your shot. Actually, it'll be three shots this year. One for your everyday garden variety flu, and then two more for this special swine flu. This year, they want you to get three shots. Now, remember, when you get five of these vaccines in a row, you increase your chances for getting Alzheimer's disease by 10 times. If you're looking for Alzheimer's disease, I can't think of a better way to do it than flu vaccine. Flu vaccine. It's a proven winner. Now, if you're one of those that does not want the flu vaccine and you're concerned about your job, maybe your employer is going to require you to be vaccinated. Maybe you go to school and your school is going to require you to be vaccinated. Maybe you're a teacher in a school and they require everyone to be vaccinated. Maybe you're a nurse, a doctor, or a health care provider, and your employer, the hospital, or the clinic expects, demands, or requires that you be vaccinated. Whatever the circumstance, whoever you are, is there a way for you to avoid this vaccine, or any vaccine for that matter? Well, the answer is yes, but sept. Yes, but sept. Now, it's available for every American, and I would venture a guess and say that for every Canadian, Australian, and New Zealander. If you're living in any country that has been governed by Anglo-Saxon administration, which at any time followed the Ten Commandment model in its governmental operations over the past 100 to 500 years, the answer is probably yes. I can't speak for you people in China, Mongolia, South Korea, Japan. But for most of you who are the beneficiaries of the United States military occupation since World War II, Anglo-Saxon administration has probably been enforced upon you against your will and over your objection, but maybe for your benefit. Maybe. Now, in the last program, I said, if you're a Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, just roll up your sleeve and shut your mouth. Here it comes. And there's a good reason for that. And that's because the First Amendment's Free Exercise Clause protects you until you tell them that you're a Catholic, Protestant, or Jew. Now, once you do that, you have joined an organized religion, and these organized religions are incorporated by the state, and they don't have any objections to vaccines. So the minute you walk in and say, I'm a Mormon, you're dead. You're dead on arrival. Because the Mormon Church is not opposed to vaccines and vaccinations. Well, at least that I know of. So, you have to be an individual under the Seeger Doctrine. Now, Seeger versus United States is cited at, I think it's 363 U.S. or 364 U.S., 163. And there's a process, there's a procedure that, coupled with our First Amendment, and the Seeger Doctrine. Keep this one in mind. Might jot this down for your information. Religious free exercise is about the best club that an individual has in his battle against government oppression and tyranny. There are other neat clubs that are contained in our Constitution to protect you, but free exercise just happens to be one great, big, neat club to be carrying around. And it comes under what we call the Seeger Doctrine. Now, how do you legally avoid unwanted immunizations of all kinds? Well, there's a little booklet put out. I don't know who put this booklet out. It's published by the Humanitarian Publishing Company. I picked up a copy of it years ago. And then a doctor gave it to me. And it's so hell, it's only 6-8 pages. Here, let me take a look here. 8 pages. And then it goes through a step-by-step sequence of events that you need to go through when you're talking to a healthcare provider, a school nurse, or somebody else here as to how you avoid these immunizations. But I've also got a Montana exemption law. Now, there's 50 states here in the United States, and maybe you live in New Zealand. All right, so here's where you start. What you're looking for is vaccination information. And you just go online to Google or somebody else, get vaccination information, and you want to download the requirements that your state or province or country has. That's the place to start. When we're doing a legal search to find out what the law is, that's our first step. Let's find out what the law requires. And then we want to find out, well, what are the exemptions or the exceptions, so that we can busily get ready and set ourselves up to get into those exceptions. Now, most people are just totally ignorant. They haven't got a clue as to what their state provides for. So I happen to pick up one here from Montana. I just picked one at random, Montana. Now, if you'll scroll down or use links for selected paragraphs included in this page, there are requirements located at 20-5-403, exemptions, 20-5-405, failure to obtain vaccines, 20-5-409, and daycare, 52-2-735. So you want to know, if you're leaving your kid at a daycare center, what are your requirements? What are the daycare center's requirements? What are the exemptions? What is the failure? Or you can use off-site links to the Montana Code annotated source pages. Immunizations required. And child care, and so on. Now, here's some questions and answers. Listen to this. Does Montana have exemptions to vaccination requirements? Answer, yes. Montana has both medical and religious exemptions. The religious exemption is a general one. Therefore, anyone who believes it is in the best interest of their child or adult self to not vaccinate is eligible to claim the religious exemption. Now, that's a very liberal exemption there. Now, remember yesterday I said if you're a Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, roll up your sleeve. Okay, Montana's an exception to that rule. You could walk in and say, yeah, I'm a Catholic, and I believe that as an adult, I do not want to self-vaccinate because of my religious beliefs. You could pull it off there. It'll run counter to the Seeger Doctrine and First Amendment, but in Montana, see, the legislature has written it right into the statute. And there are exemptions and exceptions like that. Now, write this down. There are three classes of exemption or exception. One is medical. Two is religious. Three is personal belief. Now, your personal belief is pretty optional. There are some states, I believe California is one of them. If you just have a personal belief in opposition to vaccination, you can apply it. Make sure you check your state. It'll have one of these three. Now, notice Montana doesn't have personal belief as an exemption. They have religious and medical. All right, now medical is pretty up front. Let's suppose that you've got AIDS. And impairing your immune system with vaccines could be a threat to your life. Go to your doctor and say, hey, give me a medical exemption. Then take it to your boss, take it to your school, take it to wherever you need to apply it, and your medical exemption is like get out of free jail card or get out of jail free card. Now, not all states here in the United States will accept religious free exercise. Two of them won't. In fact, the two worst states are Mississippi and West Virginia. Now, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to go to your doctor in Mississippi or West Virginia, and you're going to say, listen, doc, give me this letter. Then you have to take the letter down to your local court and sue the person who's requiring you to get this vaccine. You sue them. It's called a declaratory judgment. You're not suing the guy for money. You're not mad at him. You want the court to make a ruling as to whether your religious or your medical exemption is valid. Now remember, you walk in, if you can get your pastor, let's suppose you belong to the Christian Science group. You're a shoo-in because Christian Scientists don't believe in vaccines. Your preacher is going to give you a letter. You take it down to the judge. You show it. He'll sign the court order, and you're in like a burglar. That's just in those two states, Mississippi and West Virginia. Now, all the other states in the United States have provision for personal exemption, medical exemption, or religious exemption. You don't need it from your preacher. In fact, he's probably the last guy you want. If you'll go to Seeger versus U.S., remember that's 364 U.S. 163. There are five winning and five losing arguments in there. And there's a step-by-step sequence of events where the Supreme Court shows you, here's how this is done. And if you'll do that, I don't think you'll have much in the way of a problem. Now, keep in mind that when somebody wants you to get a vaccine, could be your employer or somebody, the thinking is that we need to vaccinate all these people over here. The truth of the matter is you don't need to vaccinate anybody. Because the people that don't want to be vaccinated run the risk of getting sick, don't they? Those who want to be vaccinated can decide for themselves if that's what they want. Once they've been vaccinated, they can't get the disease and they can't give it to anybody. That's the theory. It's a lie. It's not true, but, you know, that's the theory behind it. Let them go get vaccinated. Hell, they're protected. The fact that I'm not vaccinated is no threat to anybody who's been vaccinated. After all, that's the purpose for you getting vaccinated, is to protect yourself from fools like me who don't get vaccinated, isn't it? And if I don't get vaccinated, then I'm the proximate cause of my own injury. That's not your fault, is it? So just leave me alone, let me die in peace, would you? Now, under federal law, religious practices are defined by law to include moral or ethical beliefs about what is right and wrong that are sincerely held with the strength of traditional views. So it's got to be truly and sincerely held. That's a fact question. So if you're a practicing Catholic and you've had vaccinations in the past and you're going to church every Sunday, the Catholic Church is not opposed to vaccines, you probably are going to fall on the truly and sincerely held test. That would be my guess. But not in Montana. Not in Montana. And they've got it written right into their statute. Let me read it to you again. Montana has both medical and religious exemptions. The religious exemption is a general one. It's not specific, it's general. Therefore, anyone who believes it is in the best interest of their child or adult self to not vaccinate is eligible to claim the religious exemption. So there's Montana. But that doesn't help you much if you're living in North Carolina or Delaware or someplace else. That's why it's necessary for you to find out what your state requires. And so we just went online and picked out Montana. Not because it was anything special, just picked it out. For additional information on religion and vaccination, see vaclib.org/links/religion. So write that down. For additional information on religion and vaccination, see vaclib.org/links/religion. Does this exemption mentioned above apply to daycare? Yes. Yes. See sections below. Relevant phrases are bolded. Where do I get exemption forms? Answer. A good source is the office of your local grade school. Some links to downloadable forms are located at vaclib.org/pdf/exemption. Okay. Now, the Montana Code annotated section 2003, located at 20-5403, immunization required release and acceptance of immunization records. The governing authority of any school other than a post-secondary school may not allow any person to commence attendance as a pupil unless the person, A, has been immunized against diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, polio, rubella, mumps, and measles in the manner and with immunizing agents approved by the department, except that pertussis vaccination is not required for a person 7 years of age or older. B, if he has been immunized against Haemophilus influenza type B before enrolling in a preschool if under 5 years of age. C, qualifies for conditional attendance, or D, files for an exemption. Ah, see how simple that is? So, now let's suppose you want to go to school. And you've got this law of general applicability. And it says you have to be immunized, and here are the requirements. And they go A, B, C, and then they hit D, but SEP. This is what we call the but SEPs. Applies for an exemption. So you need to file for the exemption. What is the exemption? I'm religious, I got a medical exemption, or I have a personal objection. Now remember, personal objection ain't going to work in Montana. It works in a lot of states, but not Montana. So you've got two outs in Montana. It's either going to be religious free exercise or it's going to be medical exemption. I would imagine that if you went to your doctor and you said, oh my God, I think my immune system is going to collapse if I have these shots, give me an exemption. And I think your doctor would probably give you an exemption if you paid for it. I mean, he'll sell you drugs if you pay for them. I mean, the average medical doctor is a drug pusher, a legal drug pusher, and he sells drugs, just like Joe down on the street corner, except that he's selling for Rexall and Oscobutry. So if your licensed paid professional drug pusher will sell you drugs, why wouldn't he sell you an exemption for immunization? I mean, after all, they're paid whores. A whore takes money for services rendered. And the whore really doesn't care what particular services you want. Just tell her what you want, and she'll give you whatever the hell you want to pay for. So, whores are whores are whores, and, you know, wake up and smell the coffee here. Now, the governing authority of a post-secondary school may not allow any person to commence attendance as a pupil unless the person has been immunized against rubella and measles in the manner and with immunizing agents approved by the department or two files for an exemption. Got that? So number one, file for an exemption. Number two, file for an exemption. The governing authority of a post-secondary school may impose immunization requirements as a condition of attendance that are more stringent than those required by this part. Number three, a pupil who transfers from one school district to another may photocopy immunization records in the possession of the school of origin. The school district to which a pupil transfers shall accept the photocopy as evidence of immunization within 30 days after a transferring pupil ceases attendance at the school of origin. The school shall send the original immunization records for the pupil to the school district to which the pupil transfers. All right, now let me show you a little trick here. Have you ever thought about taking your kid out of the public school and educating your child at home? Homeschools don't require immunization. Isn't that special? Number one, your child will get an education that you approve of. Number two, you won't have any immunization problems to worry about. And you won't be subjected to all of the bad trends or the bad events that occur in public schools. You know, like rape, robbery, pillage. It's a wild new concept. I thought I'd throw it out there to you. Now, the Montana Code has at section 20-5-405 medical or religious exemption. When a parent, guardian, or adult who has the responsibility for the care and custody of a minor seeking to attend school or the person seeking to attend school, if an adult, signs and files with the governing authority prior to the commencement of attendance, each school year, a notarized affidavit on a form prescribed by the department stating that immunization is contrary to the religious tenets and practices of the signer. Immunization of the person seeking to attend the school may not be required prior to attendance at the school. The statement must be maintained as part of the person's immunization records. A person who falsely claims a religious exemption is subject to the penalty for false swearing provided in 45-7-202. That's why I'm telling you that if you're a Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, you ought to rethink that. If you're a member of any of these church groups or organizations that are not opposed to vaccination, oh, I'd be very cautious about signing that exemption. Had a guy here one time, he was a Mormon kid from Burley, Idaho, or Buell, Burley or Buell. And he wanted to go into court, and he wanted to say, well, here's what my beliefs are. And I told him then, I said, you know, I think you're whistling Dixie through a straw hat here. The Mormon Church is not opposed to that practice. And the state's going to come in there with a Mormon bishop, and they're going to say, hey, are you opposed to this? And that Mormon bishop's going to say, oh, no, all Mormons do this. We don't know what the hell's the matter with this guy. Mormons believe in this practice, and this guy is a Mormon, and if he believes in this Mormon religion, then he believes in this practice just like all the rest of us do. And so the membership in your church is what ties you to this belief and practice of the church. Now, you could sit there and say, well, I disagree with the Pope. Oh, no, 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 no. That won't work. No siree, Bob. Now, in Montana, it may. You could come in there as a Catholic, and you could say, well, here's my personal belief. Now, here's the way they torpedo you. Let's suppose that you're not opposed to all vaccinations. You're just opposed to some vaccinations. And so you go in there and you use your religious argument exemption. And then later you go down and you get one of those vaccinations that you believe in or that you want. And you get one of those. Boy, you're going to prison now for perjury because you're dead in the water. Now, either you believe in vaccinations or you don't. I mean, you ain't half pregnant here, partner. You're either a vaccine lover or you're a vaccine hater, but you ain't a vaccine lover of some vaccines and a vaccine hater of others. You ain't going to split this baby in two. So tuck that one away in your heart. It could get you in a lot of trouble. So if you believe in some vaccines but not all, and you want to avoid this particular vaccine, you can just sit down, shut your mouth, and roll up your sleeve. Now, if on the other hand, you're opposed to all vaccines, come hell or high water, you should write up a statement of intent and purpose, file it with your county recorder, and identify the date, time, and place that this new belief overwhelmed you. It's kind of like going in and having a conversion. You know, you were a Catholic for years and years, and then you became converted, and now you want to become a Methodist. It would be good if you could identify the date, time, and place that you had this religious conversion, so that at some future date, if a question comes up as to whether or not this conversion is valid, or it ever took place at all, you can point to this certified copy of a recorded legal document with your county recorder that said, oh yeah, and here's the date, time, and place. And so you just write up a statement of intent and purpose, and you say, well, no, I've come to the conclusion that vaccines are bad. I've had vaccines in the past, and I think that was a mistake, so I'm going to stop doing that, and here's the date, June 13th, 2009. File it with your county recorder, and I think that'll carry the day for you. So here's the story, anyway, that goes along with Montana. Now, they got another little section in here. It says, Section 20-5-409, failure to immunize or claim exemption, an injunction. A parent, guardian, or adult having the responsibility for the care and custody of a minor required by law to attend school shall elect to do one of the following. Either A, present evidence to the school that the minor has been immunized against the diseases specified. B, take action to fully immunize the minor against the diseases listed in the manner and with immunizing agents approved by the department. Or C, file for an exemption pursuant to Section 20-5-405. You either do it or get off the pot. So as a result of the parent, guardian, or responsible adult's failure to make the election referred to, in subsection 1, the minor is excluded from school. The department or the local health department may seek an injunction requiring the parent, guardian, or responsible adult to elect and perform one of the alternatives listed in subsection 1. That's why I said you either do it or get off the pot. Now, injunction is the exclusive remedy for failure to take any of the actions referred to in subsection 1. So I can't put you in jail. Can't take your kid away from you, at least not in Montana. See, they're limited to the injunction. Now, if you go into court and then you refuse to select one of the three, that's called contempt of court. You can go to jail for that. You can go to jail until you make your selection. But they typically, you know, are pretty nice guys up there in Montana, at least. I mean, you know, they're not going to throw you in jail. Some places now, they won't put you in jail. Some places, they won't take your kid. Sometimes the social lady will threaten to take your kid, when in reality they don't have any power. So in Montana, if social lady threatens to take your kid, now you know that she doesn't have the power to do that. So simple, isn't it? Now, if you're not a religious objector, then, you know, why don't you shut up and get your vaccines and get in line like everybody else? And if you are a religious objector, well, then act like it. Now, if it's medical in nature, then go consult with your doctor and see what he says. If he says, go get the shots, shut up. And if he says, yeah, I think you're right, I'll give you a medical exemption, well, then use it. Now, I'm an old man. I haven't had any shots, and I kept my children from having shots. I never had a problem with it. I always had a good time. And I've often said, you know, if you're not having fun, you ain't doing this right. So if you're not having fun with social lady and the school nurse and the doctors and the government bureaucrats, then you're not doing this right. You should be having a good time the whole time. Halfway time, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives, and I think you can download that free general law CD package at georgegordon.org or georgegordon.com, georgegordon.com. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. In the Law Hour, an editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. However, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the swine flu vaccine, giving you some ins and outs concerning how to legally avoid unwanted immunizations of all kinds. A little booklet here, about 8 pages. The greater part of this manuscript is taken from the works of Mrs. Grace Gerdwain of Burbank, Illinois. Our staff has arranged and edited that information, but we wish to give full credit for its existence to go to this courageous woman who has for 12 years worked arduously without compensation to help her fellow Americans obtain their legal rights. Now, as you read this work and put its principles into practice, there are two basic axioms you never want to forget, because they're the rock upon which your actions are based. First of all, no one anywhere, at no time, and under no circumstances has the right or the power in this country to immunize you or your children against your will and over your objection. If they attempt to do so, you can legally charge them with assault with a deadly weapon and have the full resources of our laws behind you. That's a pretty important statement. Number two, at all times, in attempting to avoid these unwanted immunizations, you have the law of the land behind you. Those who would try to vaccinate you against your will are on very infirm ground. Into every compulsory immunization law in America are written legal exceptions and waivers, which are there specifically to protect you from the attempted tyranny of officialdom. It is not only your right, but it is your obligation to use these legal exemptions if this is what your conscience tells you. So let me repeat this. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. Here in the United States, all 50 states and all of the possessions of the United States, no one can compel you to have this vaccination against your will and over your objection. Doesn't exist here. If you live in any Anglo-Saxon, English-speaking country, doesn't have to be English-speaking, but Anglo-Saxon, you're going to find that this is the bedrock and the foundation of the legal system of your country. Maybe France, Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, Iceland, Sweden, Finland, Norway, Scotland, Ireland, Northern Ireland, Great Britain, Wales, Switzerland. Now we can go around the world to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. See, you people lived over there in England, in India, Bangladesh, and Pakistan under Anglo-Saxon administration for 200 years. Now, unless you've repealed that in recent years, you still have it available to you. Now, I can't speak for you people in South Korea, North Korea, China, and around the world, but you Japanese, you South Koreans, you've been under United States military occupation. I know you South Koreans are sitting there saying, oh, no. Excuse me. The United States Army's been there in South Korea since the end of the Korean War. You people are under military occupation. Now, whether you like it or not, it's the way life is. Now, we Americans have military bases around the world. Last time I saw a number, 800 bases in 140 countries. I mean, we're building these bases and we're expanding our influence everywhere. And it's coming to an end, but I mean, you know, at this moment in time as I speak, that's where you're at. You can be in the United States Army and you can object to these vaccinations. It's a hell of a lot easier to object to them before you join, but you know, after you've joined, you could have a religious conversion while you're there. And you can tuck that away in your heart. You may get a dishonorable discharge in the process, but then, you know, it might save your life in the long run. All right, now, here's article number one. In all of your contacts with any member of the school, public health, or legal establishment, always remain calm, courteous, and humbly reverent toward their position. You're only asking of them that which the law duty binds them to give you. There is no reason or advantage to be gained by antagonizing them. Most of these officials believe that they are discharging their trust as outlined by the law. If they are overstepping the law, then you must very diplomatically bring the true facts to their attention, but without attempting to belittle them. The more you can preserve their ego, the more easily and quickly you are likely to get what you desire, a waiver of immunization. I concur with that. You don't need to call the school nurse a dumb, blonde dingbat. No, it's probably true, but don't tell her that. what you do is point out that the law of Missouri provides for a waiver. The law of Montana provides thus and such. Have the law in your possession. Say, excuse me, let me point out the law as it's delineated here by our legislature. This is what I want you to do, ma'am. I want you to give me the waiver. I want you to write up this exemption or whatever your law provides for. And once we do that, then we'll be in Fat City. Now, that lady, she may work real hard to try to persuade you that you should change your mind. Now, if she succeeds, well, then, you know, that's your choice, isn't it? Now, if you don't want to be cunningly converted or cunningly coerced into waiving your rights, then you need to say, no, I don't want that. No, I'm not going to do that. Now, if a public official threatens you, I always like to use the term, are you threatening me? You know, sometimes they'll say, you know, your child could be taken away from you. Are you threatening me? Are you threatening to take my child if I don't get him vaccinated? And then watch them backpedal. Oh, no, we're not threatening you. Okay. I just want to make clear that I don't want to be intimidated by you. I don't want you to threaten me. And they'll make it very clear, no, we're not threatening you. Okay. Now, the law provides for, and I want to take advantage of this exemption. I'm sure that every child should be vaccinated. And I want every child vaccinated except mine. I want you to go out there and shoot every one of them up with snake venom and monkey pus. But leave my kid out. Number two. All compulsory laws concerning vaccination, including the military, and I underlined including the military, contain exemptions and waivers. It is these protections placed in the laws which you may legally use to exclude yourself and your children. Surprisingly, these exemptions were placed there not for your sake, although you may take advantage of them. But these exemptions were placed there for the protection of the establishment. It's placed there for the protection of the government. How is this? Well, let us assume that these exceptions were not there, and everyone was actually forced to be immunized. Should a child die or become mentally or physically disabled, the parents would have the perfect case to sue the doctor, the school, the health department, and even the state legislature for enormous damages. Now, that's not quite true. This lady went a step too far when she said even the state legislature for enormous damages. You cannot sue your state. The 11th Amendment prohibits that. But you can sue the governor. You can sue individual legislators. You can sue the school board. You can sue the school district. You can sue the school nurse, the pediatrician. All these individuals are suable, but you cannot sue the state. You cannot sue the federal government unless there's a specific statute written into the law that provides for that suit. So always remember the 11th Amendment. This lady here, nice lady, she's got the rest of it true, but that 11th Amendment's a killer. Now, since they allowed no exemptions, they must accept full responsibility for all their adverse consequences of the law. Remember I told you a little earlier, I said very simple. So the school nurse says it's the law, your child has to have this shot. I said, well, hell, lady, if that's true, then you have the power to vaccinate my kid against my will and over my objection, don't you? Well, go do it. Don't let me get in your way. But know this, I'm not going to sign anything giving you permission, and I'm telling you plainly, don't do it. Now, if you do it and there's no adverse consequences that come from it, I don't have an action. There's no damage. But my God, if my kid ends up blind or has any kind of side effects that come from it, rest assured, litigation will surely follow. I've never found any public official that wanted to take on that liability. There may be some out there. I wouldn't tell you that there aren't some public officials that might jump right in there and get, you know, religious zeal, but I haven't found one. I don't know of any. they must accept full responsibility for all the adverse consequences of the law. Now, however, if exception waivers are placed in the law, then the responsibility is then transferred back to the parent. That's why these exemptions are written into the law. And that's why they want you to sign here. When you go in to have your pediatrician vaccinate your kid, he says, sign here. The school nurse, sign here. I ain't signing nothing, and I don't want the shots. That's what you tell them. Now, remember this. Now, there's a law of general applicability. If you don't get one of the three exemptions, then they'll expel your child from school. Now, once they've expelled your child from school, now the child is truant. Now they'll come after you for the truancy. And this is why you have to have either a medical or a religious exemption. I mean, these guys are cunning. These guys are crafty. They're not dumb. Now, the legislature, the medical professionals that are foisting this fraud upon you, they're not dumb people at all. But they want the liability on your back. Now, you take your kid in, you sign, you say, well, I had to get the vaccine. I had to get the vaccination. Now your kid comes down with autism. You've got no legal basis whatsoever. None. Zero. Zilch. To make any suit or any claim against these public officials. So if a child should be injured by immunization, the official can say, well, the parent should have exempted him if they thought there was any danger. So if you think there's any danger, you need to exempt him. You, mom and dad. Now, therefore, there is in truth no such thing as a compulsory vaccination law in this country. They're all, in essence, voluntary. The problem is that practically no one in authority will let you know that fact. And so I read you the statute. Now, there's two states now that have no exemptions. Well, at least last time I heard. That was Mississippi and West Virginia. The exemption has to come from a judge. That's all. In my state, the school nurse can issue the exemption. Any doctor can issue the exemption. In Mississippi and West Virginia, only a judge can do that. That doesn't mean that you people in Mississippi and West Virginia cannot be exempted from vaccination. It's just that the way that it has to be accomplished is through a local judge. That's all. And that judge will give you the exemption, except he's going to make a determination as to whether you're truly and sincerely held, whereas in all the other states, 48 states, we'll let the school nurse or the doctor make that determination. Number three. Now, while all immunizations or immunization laws have exemptions or exceptions that you can use, the wording in each state differs. And you must know the exact wording for your state to make the proper request for waiver. This information can be obtained in one of two ways. Go to the reference section of your local library. Look in the State Statute Revised Law Book under Public Health Law or Communicable Disease sections. The list of immunization requirements will appear first, and then the exemptions will be given. Usually one or two provisions will be listed, either on religion or medical grounds or both. You may call or write your state representative and ask for a copy of the immunization law in your state. This is part of his job, and he will usually send it promptly. Typical examples from various state laws and rulings. Take a look at New Mexico. Exemption by certification of religious objection. A parent or guardian who cannot obtain an affidavit from an officer or a recognized religious denomination as described in paragraph 1 hereof, but whose religious beliefs held either individually or jointly with others, do not permit the administration of vaccine or other immunizing agents, may apply for an exemption from immunization by submitting a certificate of conscientious objection to immunization. The certificate must be signed in the presence of a notary public. All right, so that's New Mexico. Connecticut, says, health certificate. Each child admitted to a center or group daycare shall be examined and have a health certificate of admission and an annual update signed by a licensed physician or his authorized physician assistant or nurse practitioner. Such certificate shall show that the child has been successfully immunized against diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, polio, measles, and rubella. By policy, we follow the standards of the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, United States Public Health Service. We have honored requests for religious or medical exemption. However, we will need a statement for medical exemption from a physician licensed to practice medicine in Connecticut. Okay. See the exemption, medical and religious. New Mexico, Connecticut. Let's try Alabama. It shall be the responsibility of the parents or guardians of children to have their children immunized or tested as required by Section 1. Now, in Section 3, the provisions of this Act shall not apply if in the absence of the epidemic or immediate threat thereof, the parent or guardian of the child shall object thereto in writing on grounds that such immunization or testing conflicts with his religious tenets and practices. 2. Certification by a competent medical authority providing individual exemption from the required immunization or testing is presented to the admissions officer of the school. New York. Except from the excerpts from letter from Tarki Lombardi, 50th District Chairman, Committee on Health, enclosed is a copy of Section 2164 of the Public Health Law, which requires certain inoculations for school children. Subdivision 9 of this section provides that immunizations are not required for children whose parents or guardians are members of a religion whose teachings are contrary to the mandated immunizations, and were advised by officials of the State Education Department that parents' objections need not be stated in an affidavit prepared by the school's attorney. According to the department, the objection is valid if it is contained in a letter from a church official written on church letterhead stating that the parents or guardians are bona fide members of the religion and that the tenets of the religion include a prohibition against immunization. The other state laws are actually very close to the examples given here. Okay, see how simple this is? Know your own state law so that you can conform to its exact requirements for exemption. Now, notice in New York, they say, well, we want this letter from your church. Now, go to Seeger versus United States. It's not your membership in a church or an organized religious denomination that determines truly and sincerely held. It's an individual belief. Write your own letter. You know, this is what I've been telling my students and my listeners for years. And in courtroom strategy and procedure, I've narrowed it down to 28 things that you need to know in law. And once you know these 28 things, you know, by God, from that point on, there's not very many people out there that can bamboozle you. You need to be able to code plead. You need to be able to read. You know, you should have an IQ of 80. I use IQ of 80. I think that, you know, you can be pretty damn slow. You don't have to be the sharpest marble in the drawer to understand law. And I've often said that of the 15 professions, law is probably the bottom of the list. I think anybody with an IQ of 80 can probably master the attorney-client relationship. Now, there are some professions that require some smarts. To be a medical doctor, you got to be a smart cookie. To be an engineer, you got to be smart. See, I don't know if I could become a doctor or an engineer. I probably don't have enough smarts to do that. But I got enough smarts, as dumb as I am, to be a lawyer. You don't have to be smart to be a lawyer. All right, so now Article 4. There are two basic reasons for exemptions, medical or religious, and which one you choose will often depend upon the wording of the law in your state and your personal convictions. And so let's first discuss the medical exemption. Waiver. While laws do vary, nearly all states require that a note or certificate of waiver be submitted by a physician licensed in the state of residence. In some areas where states are small and people continually travel from one to another for business, a statement from a physician in a contiguous state will often be accepted. In this letter, it's usually necessary to state the reason for the requested waiver and the length of time it should be extended. Many laws limit all such letters to a school year, and they must be renewed every year. So if you get a medical waiver for your kid this year, you're going to have to get one next year and the year after. The two most valid reasons for medical waiver are fear of allergic reaction in a sensitive child, that's number one, and two, to prevent possible damage to a weakened immune system. Hey, my kid's got a weakened immune system, the shot's going to give him damage, or he's going to have an allergic reaction. My child is sensitive. Sensitive? What the hell does that mean? I don't know. My kid's sensitive, don't shoot him up. Both of these can occur in a child who has been immunized, and since no one but the physician and the parent will be held responsible for their consequences, it's up to them to protect the child. It's possible that some states may require the letter from an MD or a DO, but many will allow an exemption letter from a chiropractor if it's courteously and properly written, as outlined above. Number five. Most people will be best served by a religious exemption unless the state law is so restrictive so as to make this nearly impossible to obtain. The only church that is legally opposed to vaccination is the Christian Science Church. They took the matter to the courts and obtained a legal ruling of exemption. It is because of this that state laws recognize the religious exemption. The church to which I personally belong, the Church of Illumination, is also by its tenets against immunization for its adherents, and they are encouraged to go to jail if necessary before submitting to this procedure. Since it is a church at large, they're able to enroll members throughout the entire United States and would be pleased to consider any applicant who is without present church affiliation and who desires the legitimate support of others in his convictions. The general desire of most health officials is to exert as much control as possible while assuming as little or no responsibility as possible. So if you place them in a position where they must either give you a waiver or assume additional responsibility, you can rest assured that you'll get the waiver. That's how simple that is. Now, there's also the rules on World Health Organization, travel to foreign countries. You know, let's suppose that you have a religious exemption. Don't you think you ought to have that put into your passport? You know, vaccinations. What if you've got a medical problem here? You've got allergies, and you're very sensitive to vaccines. Don't you think you ought to have a medical exemption and have that letter and carry it with you? So that when you get to Turkey and they say, where's your immunizations, you say, well, here's my medical exemption. You know, when you stop and think about it, this really isn't all that difficult, is it? I mean, it's perceived to be difficult. In reality, it really isn't. And, of course, your government's there trying to create all this fear and consternation. Oh, my God, what's going to happen? And the answer is, well, nothing. If you handle it correctly. Well, I'm about out of time here again, boys and girls, so I'm going to have to wrap it up and give you a reminder here that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. There, time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.